are Locked On Bengals, your daily Cincinnati Bengals podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, Bengals fans, and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast. The kickers didn't even know when the field goals were going in because, as James Rapine is indicating, if you're watching on YouTube, the field goals weren't going in. I think the teams combined to miss 4-5 field goals in a row at the end of the game, and victory
five
given up from the jaws of defeat. Defeat grasped from the jaws of victory in this one for the Bengals. And let's, I guess, start with the kicks. I mean, Evan McPherson was the Bengals' second guy they put in front of a microphone after the game, which partially, I guess we should say this first. Joe Burrow has gone to the hospital with a potential throat contusion. Yeah. And the players that talked about him after the beat guys got that news indicated that he was talking normally, he was calling plays normally, so hopefully precautionary, but that's literally all we know about this potential injury for Joe Burrow. So let's start there before we talk about the kicks, because that's a pretty important one.
Yeah, this is what nightmares are, all right? Outside of the craziness at the end of the game, the whole stadium was hushed, including Packers fans, and there were a lot of Packers fans at Paul Brown Stadium. When he gets hit and he takes that huge hit and it's like, oh my God, this is really going to happen again. Like I think that's what everybody was thinking. And then he gets up, jogs off, everything's fine. And everything seemed fine. In fact, I was like, oh yeah, I think Joe's probably going to talk next. We're in the news conference room. He obviously finished the game, completed 68% of his passes. We'll talk about his play in a bit. But I thought he was fine health-wise. I wasn't like worried. And then, you know, PJ Combs, the head of the Bengals public relations department, comes in and says, hey, just so you know, Burrow's not going to talk today. And instantly I'm like, all right, well, that something's up. And it's because he was being taken to the hospital. And again, it's precautionary. Hopefully it's nothing serious for his sake alone, right? I'm not even talking Bengals-wise and season-wise and everything like that, because it just sounds super crazy. And I haven't had time to text any doctors or anything, but like throat contusion. Just weird. It's not something I've really heard of. You hear about injuries like that. You just hope he doesn't have one. So I know he's been transported to a hospital local, pretty close to Paul Brown Stadium. So hopefully he's okay and, you know, can get back to his Burrow mansion here shortly and look at the film.
I did Google it, and it can be a serious injury. But if he's talking, I think that's a good sign. But I'm not going to speculate because that's all I know about it. Hopefully he's okay. And we'll leave that there. Let's talk about Burrow's game. I guess we're on the topic of Joe Burrow. This offense, you know, that they flashed. Ja'Marr Chase had a great game, but when the offense wasn't running from Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase or Samaje Perine, who also had a really good game, they weren't great today. Four out of their first five drives were three and outs, including the one after Cheeto's interception got them to start their drive from the Green Bay 40, inside Green Bay territory anyway. They pumped from the 40-41. Later, Quinton Spain has a holding penalty in the second half that leads to a punt from the Green Bay 40. And you just can't be punting from that part of the field against a team that's quarterbacked by Aaron Rodgers and has Devontae Adams, because those two guys single-handedly beat the Bengals. And Joe Burrow and this Bengals offense just weren't consistent enough in a game that had a lot of opportunities, because, you know, Mason Crosby started missing first, right? He told Evan McPherson after the game he couldn't figure out the winds of Paul Brown Stadium. That opens the door for the Bengals. They're even on the board first. And then, you know, the offense kind of disappears until they get a good play, but a bit of a lucky play on Ja'Marr Chase's touchdown to beat the halftime clock.
Yeah, there's a lot there. First off, the touchdown was awesome. You know, good on Burr, or good on Chase for continuing to make plays. I don't know how he does it. It seems like now, what, three out of their five games, he's made a huge play at the end of the first half that's completely changed the game. But the one thing you mentioned was the conservativeness that Zach Taylor was abiding by and using. And look, I get it. He missed two field goals. I would have kicked the field goal at 4th and 12 on the 40, that 57-ish yarder. And that was before any missed field goals, by the way. So there's no signs of trouble. It was in the middle of the third quarter. I think there was like 5 minutes left in the third. I would have done that. I would have tried to cut it to two. Obviously, a field goal could have made all the difference. He didn't. He punted. But, yeah, it's funny. You think back to week one and the, you know, the 4th and 1 on the 30, and they want to be aggressive and aggressive. It didn't feel that way through a lot of this game, and especially later in the game when you have a, you know, you're sitting on a 49-yard field goal, or you could pass and try to stay on the field, or at the end of regulation, was it T. Higgins? Yeah, T. Higgins had a drop that kind of got them off, just off off clock, I guess. What am I looking for here, Jake?
Behind the chains, behind the sticks, yeah, a little bit off schedule.
Off schedule is what I'm looking for. They were off schedule because that would have extended the drive. It would have been first down, and suddenly they're, you know, they're still moving and they're much closer. And then it was very conservative after that. And it was like, okay, let's just see if the rookie can make his third game winning field goal in five games. And it just, it didn't happen. And missed kicks are going to happen, right? We saw it on both sides today. And so that is something I think that people are going to be talking about, is how conservative Zach Taylor was throughout this game.
Yeah. Before Evan McPherson's last field goal attempt of the game, they get that deep shot to Jamar Chase on the right sideline. Great catch, toe tap, right? Inbounds, moves the ball near field goal range, and then they just run it three times. And right after, you get a big play from Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase, you take it out of their hands. The other thing that stands out is Tyler Boyd hardly involved in the game. He had two big third down catches, and Joe Burrow and Tyler Boyd not on the same page for like the first time really this season, I think, on that overtime interception that was brutal and should have lost the game on the spot. The Bengals got lucky and got another chance. And then they take the ball out of Burrow's hands. And it's run, 49-yard field goal attempt. And the way this game is going, I'm just thinking to myself at that point, like, why are we playing for a long field goal? And I get it. Like, they're trying to, remove the possibility for an interception, trying to get it a little bit closer. But from that part of the field, especially out there, I even think they should have gone for it on fourth down. Like, give yourself a better chance the way things are going. And, you know, Evan McPherson thought he hit the 49-yarder and was very surprised when the ref signaled no good and they didn't get another chance after that.
Yeah. And look, that's all you can ask for, right? Is the 49-yarder, given everything that had happened. But if you're Zach, like, if you're Evan, if you're Zach, yeah, I want the ball in Nine's hands. I don't want Samaje Perine deciding where it's going to go. And look, you're going to have to live with some interceptions here and now, here and then. It's the NFL. It's going to happen. It doesn't mean that you get super conservative. That's just, it's not how you win in this game, in this league. And, you know, I'm not going to crush Zach for it because they still should have won. He should have made the 49-yard field goal. And Evan will tell you that. He thought he did, and it was really close, but he didn't. And it's one of those things where, you know, and I've talked about this with Burrow really throughout the season, putting too much on his plate. Like, at some point, a rookie kicker is only going to make so many game-winning field goals as a rookie. at some point, that's just it. Like, it's just like anything else. Like, at some point, Jamar Chase isn't going to have a 55-yard touchdown to end every half because it seems like that's his norm now. But right now, while it's happening, you want to take advantage of it, but you can't bank on it. And it felt like they were trying to just bank on, all right, he's going to make this 57-yarder, and it doesn't matter. Or he's going to make this 49. And he was really close on both of them. But when you miss him, now we're looking back at the other plays that could have changed it and made it easier. And that's the part that's tough to swallow, I think.
Yeah, the 57-yarder, by the way, that ended regulation. Well, didn't quite end regulation, but toward the end of regulation, went off the right upright. So talking about how close he was from 57, he hit the field goal post. So, you know, you can't be much closer than that without making it from that far away. Let's talk a little bit about some of those other plays. What led to this crazy fourth quarter, crazy overtime, and how Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers just picked them apart coming up next.
But first, we're going to talk to you about DirecTV Stream, because let's be honest, with all of the different options out there, you probably have your neighbor's best friends log in for the really good, hard-hitting TV. Plus, you're watching sports highlights on your phone. Maybe you stream your favorite shows on one login, or you caught the Bengals game live, or all these different options. Well, you can get them all together in one spot with Direct TV Stream. It's a great way to simplify your TV. So whether you want to watch the game at Paul Brown Stadium from the comfort of your own home, or if you want to catch the latest and greatest TV and live shows, you can do it in one spot with Direct TV Stream. Get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together. You can learn more at directtv.com. That is directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
So this was a pretty crazy game start to finish. We talked about the end of the game there, James, and all the missed kicks and all the missed opportunities there. This, when I look back at this game, I just see missed opportunities all over the place. The Bengals, in their first two drives, credit the defense. They really got to Aaron Rodgers, I think. Cam Sample had two great pressures that helped the Bengals get off the field in some tough situations on third downs. And Rodgers didn't start off so well. And if you're watching on TV, they pointed this out. You know, his first quarter was pretty poor. The rest of his game, however, pretty good. Also credit Chido Awuzie for a fantastic interception covering Davante Adams off script, staying in phase with Adams and punishing a ball that probably should have been thrown closer to the sideline. But the defense really gave the offense an opportunity to jump out to an early lead. And eventually they did, but they wasted two drives first, including really good field position, right? So how different is the game if when you start on the Green Bay 41 against a defense without Jaire Alexander, without Za'Darius Smith, you can punish that interception. And then you come back in the next drive, you have your long touchdown drive. Then maybe the game looks a little bit different. Instead, the Packers are let off the hook, and then they can answer your touchdown with one of their own, and then you're at 7-7. The missed extra, well, 7-6. There was a missed extra point to start the missed kicking shenanigans of the game, actually. But a missed opportunity at the very start of the game, right after Cheeto's pick. And then Green Bay found its footing on offense, and we'll talk about that and how they did that. But let's get your thoughts on the beginning of this game first.
Yeah, they came out and played well defensively. And, you know, you forced back-to-back punts a punt, interception punt. You're feeling good. And unfortunately, and this boggles my – because this is where the game was really lost. Like, I had my game story written early fourth quarter. It was 19-14, then 22-14. And I was like, look, even if the Bengals tie it, Aaron Rodgers is going to go and score and the game's over. Like, that's just how I thought it was going to play out. So I was like, all right, this is how I'm going to write it. And I rewrote it about 52 times. But it's – God, we harped on it all damn week. They have to score. And they have to score a lot, and they have to score early. And what else – what was the other thing they have to do? Hit Aaron Rodgers early. Well, they did that. Defense did its job. They forced the turnover, which, you know, you're not expecting, especially early. They're able to do that. And what did they have to show? 7 points up until that, again, really awful play by the safety who deserved it, because I'm pretty sure he's the one who put the hit on Burrow. But anyways, they have to be better early in games offensively and sustain drives. Even their touchdown drive was 51 yards. It wasn't a sustained drive. It wasn't this long drive. It's good. The defense is going to be able to breathe. And I'm fine with explosives. I'm not complaining about those. But, you know, for all the firepower that's on this offense, it's got to be better. And it wasn't. And I think that's really, when it comes down to it, I think that's where the game was lost. Now, they got gifted chances to win it anyways. And that also happens. You got to take advantage of it. But that's my thought, is the defense did its job early. Then Aaron Rodgers woke up and does what he does, which we knew was going to happen. And the Bengals offense wasn't as good as I had hoped. And I think most people expected going into Sunday.
Yeah. For me, this game is almost entirely like the defense did enough. The offense didn't do enough. That's the very high level summary, right? The oversimplified, you know, you could talk about the kicks and some coaching decisions as well, but the offense scored 22 points again. And I think they're averaging what, like 23 points this year, something like that. And it's just not enough when they start to play some of these high powered offenses. The defense, on the other hand, like I said, came out on fire. Then the Packers started moving Aaron Rodgers out of the pocket, a lot of play action, naked boot stuff. And those are hard plays to defend. The Bengals' pressure really dried up after those first few drives of the game, and it came back intermittently throughout, but it wasn't consistent. There were a number of plays that Aaron Rodgers sat in the pocket for like 7 seconds or longer. And some of those plays he found guys, some of the plays he didn't. So, you know, kudos to the secondary, right? But then the Devontae Adams show got turned on because the Bengals couldn't get to Rodgers consistently enough. And that includes, by the way, the 59-yard catch for Adams was against a bracket, against a double team. He got on top of Jesse Bates. That's hard to do. Devontae Adams is really good. So when you look at it, it's like, well, Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams beat you. And those are the two guys you really don't want to beat you on this team. But, man, they're really good. And after those first couple of drives, they mostly played really well in this game.
They did. No, they were dominant. You know, 11 receptions, 206 yards and a touchdown. A lot of big plays on third down, it felt like. You mentioned the 59-yarder where, honestly, the tackle was impressive because it could have easily been a touchdown.
Yeah.
And it kept the Bengals in the game because they ultimately forced the field goal. It's tough. And that's why you're going to have to score. Like, that's it. It's a scoring league. And if you would have told me the defense held the Packers to 25 points in four quarters, I would have signed up for it all day long. Well, they did it in another 8 minutes. So 68 minutes of play. And they, you know, that should be enough. Now, are the numbers ugly in some instances? Yeah, 206 yards to one player is ridiculous. But that was the guy that was crushing you. A.J. Dillon, too, had a a nice game. And then the one huge run that should have ended it, Aaron Jones, I mean, just scampers. He's just running. It's like, all right, well, this is over. And
a missed tackle in the backfield, too. Like, Von Bell comes down from strong safety. He's blitzing. He's in the hole. He's at the right place. And Jesse Bates misses a tackle after that. It should have been game. But, you know, to your point, the Bengals had opportunities after some of these big plays.
Yeah, they did. And that's the part of this. Like, it's easy to be like, oh, well, moral victory, three-point loss, overtime to the Packers. The Packers didn't play that well. And they left it out there, and they gifted it to you. And if you would have played the way I expected them to play today, they would have won. They would have scored 30-plus, and they would have handled it because the Packers didn't do what I thought they were going to do throughout the game. And they obviously left a lot of points out there. I mean, just the field goals alone, they topped that 30-point mark if he's not missing. And so, that, you know, Mason Crosby, a day to remember for him. By the way, he had only missed two field goals the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Misses crazy. More today, then it's insane. So you get that outlier gift that is never going to happen again and lose. And I'm not trying to be crazy negative here, but when you look at it from that angle, it's like, well, damn, this is a game, you know, maybe they should have won. And I feel the more I think about it, it's like, these are the games. If a contender is going to gift wrap it when you're at home, you got to take it. And you got to unwrap that bad boy and put it under the tree.
Absolutely. Real quick, before we move on to the offense and talk a little bit more about some specific performances on the offensive side of the ball, shout out Trey Hendrickson. Had two sacks, had another three hits, was the consistent Bengal getting pressure on the defensive line. Also, I don't know how well he played. I wasn't watching him that closely, but Larry Ogunjobi gutted it out, went to the locker room at one point, but was back out there and did contribute to one of Trey Hendrickson's sacks. The other guy I want to shout out on the defense is Chidobe Awuzie, who, you know, he gave up some catches to Devontae Adams. Of course he did. But generally, you know, he was coming downhill. He made a couple of really great tackles in the backfield or right after the catch. He had the interception. I thought Chido played a pretty good game against one of the hardest tests he will face all year. And that's a really encouraging sign. You hope that everybody's healthy. Chido left the game, came back at some point. Trey Waynes looked like he grabbed his hamstring toward the end of the game. Jesse Bates got hurt on one of the last defensive plays of the game, if not the last defensive play of the game. So I think it was the last, Burrow, actually.
Obviously.
And Joe Burrow. So a lot of guys there that we're going to have to get updates on in a few days. But let's shift gears, talk offense more specifically. Ja'Marr Chase, 10-target game, a little bit of a coming out party there, carried by that 70-yard touchdown before the end of the first half. And there were some good things, so we'll talk about those as well coming up next.
The Bengals dealing with their fair share of injuries, bumps, bruises. Chidobe Awuzie came into the press conference. He was, you know, limping a little bit, general soreness that you might have after leg day. And whether you're a Cincinnati Bengal or just someone like me that likes to regularly partake in leg day, Built Bars are perfect for you. They're the number one protein bar on the planet. They come in 9 delicious flavors, plus an occasional limited time flavor that's awesome, like cookie dough. All right. And the best part about Built Bars, it's not the fact that they taste great or that they're covered in 100% chocolate. It's the macros. High in protein, low in sugar, low in calories, perfect for you. So check them out right now. I have a bunch in my cabinet. They're my go-to. I got one in my backpack that I'm going to crush after we finish this show, because let's be honest, all that miss kicking, it's made me hungry. So check them out right now, builtbar.com. And when you're there, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your first order. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com.
You know why I'm hungry, James? Is because like my heart rate was about 140 in the middle of this game as I was sitting in this chair watching the game, just freaking out, like, what is going on in this game? Because they had chances all the way down the stretch. Like, it's 22-8 points, 22-14.
Yep.
And the Bengals are marching down to score, and I'm thinking, okay, well, all they got to do is score, get a 2-point conversion, and then stop Aaron Rodgers. That's easy. And it turns out they kind of did, and they should have won in regulation. But a couple things here, right? Joe Burrow had a mixed bag of a day. But if this is Andy Dalton quarterbacking this team, the last longtime quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals, is why I bring him up, not to beat up on Andy or anything. There's really no confidence, right, if you're watching this game at home, that Andy's going to hang with Rodgers, even though I know Andy Dalton beat Aaron Rodgers. With Joe Burrow in that situation, you're like, okay, this is different. Like, he has a chance to go down. And every time the Bengals got the ball back, I'm like, okay, they're going to win this time. Okay, they're going to win this time. Okay, they're going to win this time. And it didn't end up shaking out that way, but he gives you that confidence. He is that guy. He can keep you in games. That being said, didn't play great today. He wasn't as good this week because he was against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Obviously, there were times that I wanted to blame this on the offensive line. The offensive line at times looked like it did last year when they weren't having good games. And it wasn't that bad overall, but I do think that when we see the PFF grades for the offensive line, it's going to be not what you want to see. Joe Burrow got hit 8 times, got sacked 3 times. So that being said, I thought both interceptions that he threw were his fault and were pretty poor. And so you can't really make those mistakes and try to beat a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who really turned it on, and they found a way to get that offense going on that side of the ball. So up and down day for Joe Burrow. And really, it's those two interceptions that are the glaring mistakes. He also had a couple underthrows of Ja'Marr Chase when he got loose on go balls on the right side of the field as well. But you know, you tend to forget those when you stack them up against a completed deep ball or two and the interceptions that were kind of rough to rewatch.
Yeah, there was one go ball where he threw it up to Chase in the end zone, and Chase stopped, and the corner almost intercepted it, and he left it way short. But
and he got hit as he threw that one. But
yeah, he also, and that's left it. Short. Like that's the part that I want to point out. Like, God dang it, guys, just hold up a little. Like, it wasn't like he was asking for 8 seconds, you know, some unreasonable amount of time. And so that part was a bit frustrating, because I think he lofted it up higher, rainbowed it because of that, but wanted to keep it in play. And when you do that, that's a risky throw. But no, it was certainly not his best day. And I think after what he did on Thursday against the Jaguars, expectations rose a little bit, and it was like, all right, he can go toe-to-toe, and that's fair. Let me give you the play where I think things changed, even if he wouldn't admit it, and we obviously don't know what happened injury-wise. He was throwing – it was the go ball. It was the go ball after Chase's drop. So it was the go ball that hit the defender in the helmet, and he gets hit in his knee, and it looked awful. It wasn't the, you know, the scramble drill, and I'm just saying that – I know you know that, but it wasn't the scramble drill I'm talking about. And it's in the, I think, first quarter. It's certainly first half. And I was like, oh, my gosh. But he popped back up, but he was limping a little bit, just a little. There was a little hitch. And I don't know if you would even notice it on TV because half the time it's waist up and you're not even seeing his legs and how he's moving exactly, but just a little hitch in his – and I'm like, oh, goodness. Like, why? Why does he keep – because it's an ugly hit by his knees. And I wonder if that had anything, if that set him back at all, if that reminded him of it, if that, and then he takes the brutal shot. I need Joe to slide, and I know he kind of slid the one time. And then I asked Jamar, I was like, does he know how to slide? I asked Jamar Chase after the game. He was like, yeah, he does. He did today, right? He's like, he's just hard-headed. Well, damn it, get soft-headed. Because I don't need you taking those type of hits, Joe. You cannot – like, he can't. He, like, hopefully he's okay. And I don't know, again, where this throat contusion happened. It could have happened on a different play, not this huge hit. But he got crushed, and that just cannot happen.
He's taken a lot of hits again, and he did this week. A couple other guys that we should talk about, I think. Let's talk Samaje Perine first. Did a lot of work in the stead of Joe Mixon, who was limited but had a really nice touchdown run. So there's our Joe Mixon plug. But he didn't play as much, and hopefully he's 100% next week because I think they missed him dearly. And I think they didn't run the ball as much early as they would have if he was playing. And maybe the game goes differently, but hard to put too much on the running back. It's just they changed the running game for Samaje Perine. They go away from the wide zone stuff. I think they know that Samaje isn't as good at executing that as Joe Mixon. And they started doing other things. But to Samaje Perine's credit, outside of the missed blitz pickup that led to an early sack of Joe Burrow, he was really good. He had 11 catches for 59 yards. He had a drive where he converted a fourth down. He had another 10-yard catch, and then he scored the touchdown. And that's after a 7-yard run to start the drive. So Samaje Perine, to his credit, had a pretty nice game. Getting those guys out of the way, let's talk receivers. Jamar Chase, 10 targets. His first 10-target game, he caught 6 of them for 159 yards and a touchdown. He was making plays. He had some sensational catches in this game and was, in my opinion, the Bengals' best player on offense in this game by a pretty significant margin. Given the way Joe Burrow played today and given Joe Mixon's limitations and the lack of involvement from Tyler Boyd, the T. Higgins drops. I mean, Jamar was great, and he was one of the few reasons that the Bengals were in this game. So I just want to shout out Jamar Chase, a little sliver of silver in this otherwise dark cloud that some of you might be feeling after a tough loss.
He's easily their best player. And there was one of the many game stories that I had written that I had to throw away in the recycling bin here at Paul Brown Stadium was the Jamar Chase just carried the Bengals to a win. And it was right after the toe tap in overtime, 21 yards. They say it's incomplete at first. And then, oh, wait, upon looking at the Jumbotron, because there ain't no way the officials just flipped the script on that without looking up. And they realize, oh, he did get both feet down. And he did. And it was a hell of a catch. A good throw. And I was like, all right, there you go. That's it. That's the play that's going to put them in position. So this was the Jamar Chase game, 6 receptions, 159, a touchdown. Had that amazing catch where he thought he wasn't touched down. So he gets up and sprints to the end zone. You really saw the speed there. A lot of times it looks like he's gliding. That time you really saw his breakaway speed. But the catch in general, I know it didn't count as a touchdown, was awesome. The fact that he was able to bring that in and the focus that it took to do so. So he's great. I mean, I saw someone tweet, and I forget who it was, but she was like, we can stop talking about the Jamar Chase pick now. and I think it was after that play. And it's true. Like, the Bengals got it right. I don't want to hear about the fifth pick. Have they gotten other stuff wrong? Maybe. Absolutely. They got it right with the fifth pick in the 2021 NFL draft. He's a baller. And we've seen it week in and week out. And I'm sure he commanded more attention today than he did last week and more attention then than he did the week before. And he continues to put up numbers, especially on a day when his quarterback wasn't as good. Like you mentioned, T. Higgins was dropping the ball and Tyler Boyd wasn't a huge factor and they didn't have a lot of running game. So there really wasn't much outside of Jamar when you're talking about big plays.
Yeah, I noticed that they didn't target the middle of the field and the intermediate part of the field at all. Again, this has been a bit of a trend. I would like to see that reverse. But one thing you point out, Jamar Chase getting more attention. On the two-point conversion play, the Packers, I think, went double-team man on Jamar Chase. They bring the safety over. It's either a very tight bracket or just true double-team and man. And there's probably some inside outside over under responsibilities between those two guys. And they were in, and he works backside to Higgins, who has time. He had time and who has time to come free. I'm probably a pretty late read for him on that play because he recognizes that Jamar is doubled on that 2-point conversion play. T. Higgins in his return to action didn't make as much of an impact as I thought he might. He had that significant drop. He was only targeted 7 times and didn't really get any deep shots. The drop was rough. He had 2 drops, actually. One of them could have been a first down. Yep. And the other one would have gotten them much closer, I think, for a field goal at the end of the game. So not a great game for T. And Tyler Boyd is just like, where's the involvement for Tyler Boyd is really the question I had in this game. When I talked to Peter Bukowski on the crossover, I'm sitting here thinking, like, you can try to do a lot to take away Jamar Chase, but there's not much you can do to stop Tyler Boyd from getting open against your linebackers. And I didn't see what the Packers did exactly, but they took him away. And so that was a little bit disappointing, to say the least. We'll have to go to the rewatch, I think, for the offensive line to see what was happening in the middle of the field, those sorts of things. And another topic that we're going to have to talk about, James, another day, probably tomorrow, is what we think about Zach Taylor after this game and some of the decision-making. We talked about it a little bit, some of the conservativeness, but we didn't really talk about it in depth, and I think that will be a hot topic for us to discuss this week. Any other closing thoughts, James? The Bengals losing 25-22 at home. They dropped to 3-2 on the season, 2-1 at home. A tough way to lose when they had many opportunities to win.
Yeah, it's a damn shame, because I think this would have been a woo game for those wondering. You know, Jake and I haven't talked about it, but I think it probably would have been. And instead, you're right, T. Higgins, 2 drops. Both of them would have been first downs, by the way. 2 drops, yeah. Both would have been first downs. Brutal. You can't have that. Chase had a drop, but obviously he was great. It's just, I need more offense. And hopefully Joe's okay. That's what it comes down to, because you ain't getting more offense if Joe's not okay. So say a prayer to the Locked On Bengals gods, and hopefully by the next time we turn these microphones on, we're talking about number 9 being upright and okay for week 6 in Detroit.
That is certainly the hope. Again, the Bengals losing to the Packers at home, 25-22, 3-2. They will play against the Detroit Lions. Randy Bullock's Detroit Lions in Detroit next week, and they'll try to get to 4-2. Until next time, Bengals fans, I'm still going to say hoo day, and have a good one.